March 19th will mark 1 year since the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in Sedgwick County. We're working on a special Range episode all about the pandemic year, and we want to hear your stories. Tell us how your life has changed since March 19th, 2020. Record a message using the Talk to Us feature on the KMUW app, and it might be used on air. Or send an email to news@kmuw.org, and a reporter may contact you. Wondering what the cold weather might mean for your next utility bill? Here's a hint. It's not good. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, we get to know new Shocker basketball coach Isaac Brown.
He was a good leader. Other players respected him because he put so much energy and time into his game.
But first, last week's freezing weather might be gone, but there's still plenty of fallout to deal with. Like your utility bill, for instance. It'll likely be more expensive next month in the wake of the storm, which caused chaos for the state's electric and gas utilities. Reporter Brian Grimmett joins us to talk about why your bill might be going up and what state officials are trying to do about it. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Tom.
So a lot of people are worried that the winter storm is going to make their next utility bill a lot more expensive. Is that what we should expect?
Unfortunately, yes. Most people can probably expect their next month's bill to be a little bit higher than what it would normally be. But there's still a lot of unknowns. We're not really sure at this point how much higher that bill might be.
So they're going to go up. We know that. Why are they going up?
So there are two main reasons. First, you probably used a whole lot more gas or electricity than you normally would. With it being so cold, sometimes negative 15 in places in Kansas, it just took a lot more energy to keep your house warm. Secondly, because there was so much demand, especially for natural gas, the wholesale price that your utility company had to pay to get it went way up, sometimes 100 times more than they would normally expect to pay.
I know my heater was running quite a bit at home over that storm.
Right. And when the price utility companies pay for the gas goes up, that cost gets passed through to your customers. So when you were using it a whole lot more, that extra cost is going to hit you a whole lot more. Larger utilities such as Evergy or Kansas Gas Service, they have ways to smooth these spikes out over a longer period of time. Many smaller city-operated utility companies, though, like the city of Cheney and Sedgwick County, they have no other choice than to pass those costs on and to do it quickly. They ended up paying more for natural gas just in the month of February than they did all of 2020.
We keep hearing horror stories about the size of some of the utility bills in Texas, and I know they're on a sort of a different system there. Will there be any kind of help or relief for people here who might wind up getting really enormous bills?
Maybe, but there's nothing certain at this point. State regulators at the Kansas Corporation Commission have asked utility companies that they regulate, which are the larger ones like Evergy and Kansas Gas Service, they've asked them to set aside all of those extra costs that they had, and then they'll try to maybe figure out a way to spread those out over a longer period of time. There could also be some federal relief. Governor Laura Kelly has asked the federal government to look into these price spikes and to maybe see if there's going to be some kind of stimulus or aid package, but none of that is certain right now.
So if there's no official plan yet, is there anything else people can do who might be struggling to pay their bill?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. The first thing, call your utility company. They have a couple different plans. They're aware that this is going to be an issue, and they might be able to help you maybe go to an average plan, which takes what you paid all of last year, averages that out, and so you're paying the same amount each month. That might help blunt it a little bit. There are also several local charities that have utility assistance plans. You can call 211 to get some more information about that. And the state also offers something called the Low Income Energy Assistance Program. And that's accepting applications right now.
Brian, appreciate your insight very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wichita State men's basketball coach Isaac Brown continues to draw more attention as he leads the Shockers to more victories. That includes last week's win over highly ranked Houston. For this month's In the Mix, Carla Echols gets to know Wichita State's first black head basketball coach.
We got to compete, play at a high level, and play smart. Do what you can do, okay?
Coach Isaac Brown has been leading the Shockers since last November. The Mississippi native and WSU assistant coach took over the basketball team after Greg Marshall's departure.
Family up, three, one, two, three.
In our first team meeting, I wanted to talk to him about
you know, just trusting the coaching staff. It was my first head coaching job, and I just told them I wanted them to trust me. I was going to give them 110%, and I wanted them to give me 110%.
It was an easy request for 6'8" Shocker Morse Udize. He says Coach Brown was the reason he returned to Wichita State.
It's amazing. You know, I've been rooting for IB the whole time. I've been playing. As soon as I got the job, me and the guys came together. We were like, we have to go hard for IB so we can get this head coaching job. So we all came together, trying to win as much games as possible.
And they are winning. The Shockers are now leading the American Athletic Conference. Coach Brown says the credit belongs to the players.
Because I don't take any of the shots, you know what I'm saying? The kids take all the shots. They dive on the floor. They get all the rebounds. I just think I want to give all those guys the credit. I just try to keep them organized, keep them playing hard, making sure they're doing the right things on and off the court, and they're taking care of themselves with this COVID.
Leadership comes naturally to Coach Brown and has since he was a high school basketball player in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and a one-time assistant coach there. His coach at the time, Gary Gagliano, says Brown was the point guard in high school, a position similar to a quarterback on a football team.
He had to be somewhat of a coach on the court as a player, and he was very good at that role, and he was a good leader. Other players respected him because he put so much energy and time into his game. He led by example.
But it went deeper than that.
He was also always inquisitive about why we were doing things on the court, not just let's go do them, but why is this going to work? And that's what a good coach does. You have to figure out what problems are and solve them.
Even though winning is important for a coach, Brown is also about building relationships.
A coach once told me this when he was recruiting me, and it has stuck with me. He said, Isaac, when I recruit you, I'm not talking about getting to the NBA or championships. I'm talking about having a lifelong relationship with you. So as a head coach, that's my deal. I want them to be able to, 10 years from now, you can call me, and I'm going to try to help you to better yourself. And I think when these kids trust you and know that it's more than just basketball, I think they'll run through a brick wall for you, and that's the key to it.
For The Range, I'm Carla Echols.
Carla Echols shares thoughtful stories about race and culture every month on In the Mix. You can read more about Coach Brown, including what his mother calls his fondness for Raisin Bran, at KMUW.org. And one last thing. I don't think I've ever been this excited about going to the doctor's office to get a shot. I'm still down the list a bit to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but when it's my turn, I'll be ready to go. I wasn't always this eager. Like most kids, getting a shot was pure agony, a moment made worse by fretting about it the minute you enter the doctor's office. I remember one time hiding under my dad's trench coat, hoping the nurse wouldn't find me. Sadly, she did. I passed some of that on to my son. I had to pin him down when he got his shots for kindergarten. But that's long forgotten. He can't wait to get his vaccination either. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Nadia Foe and Lou Ann Stevens. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.